من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh, a podcast where we, the students and faculty at Timbuktu Seminary, sketch in your minds an outline of fiqh auditory design, imagining deeply your heart. Spark would ignite. Our mindset, our manners, our conduct intact. The laws of behavior and how we should act. We have with us today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Nice, Andy. I don't have anything to complain about. Alhamdulillah. Let's get started. Yourself? Bismillah.
Yourself? We are in... Yes, Alhamdulillah. I'm fine, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair.
Started.
Yes. So we are in A Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fozan. And this is page 142 of the PDF, but page 125 of the book. And this is chapter 1 of the second unit, which is partnership. And the chapter is the kinds of partnership.
Partnerships. We're talking about partnerships and things. Type of business agreements people have with one another. Go ahead.
Nah. Kinds of partnership. Some light should be thrown on the issue of partnership and its rulings, as partnership is obviously widespread nowadays. People still practice dealing and trading with each other, and this is considered a means of cooperation, with the purpose of attaining common interests through developing and investing wealth and exchanging experiences. Partnership in trade and the like is deemed permissible according to the book, the Quran, and the Sunnah prophetic tradition. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, and indeed, many associates oppress one another. Quran Surah Sa'd, Ayah 24. Here, the word associates refers to partners. The noble ayah proves the permissibility of partnership and the prohibition of oppressing one another as partners. The proof of the permissibility of partnership is also stated in the Sunnah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what may mean. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, I am the third of the two partners, i.e. Allah is with them, taking care of, keeping, supporting, and sending down blessing upon their trade, as long as one of them does not cheat the other. But when he cheats him, I depart from them, i.e. to take blessing away from their trade. The hadith involves the legality of partnership and exhorts people to maintain it, provided they do not cheat one another. This is because partnership involves cooperation and assistance, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what may mean, Allah assists the person so long as he assists his Muslim brother. The person has to choose the one whose wealth is lawfully obtained in order to set up a partnership with him. In addition, he is to keep away from the people whose wealth is completely or partially ill-gotten. It is permissible for a Muslim to go into a partnership with a disbeliever, provided that the disbeliever is not to be given full authority to run the business alone. That is, partnership is to be under the supervision of the Muslim partner, so as not to let that disbeliever deal in riba or any kind of prohibited matters. So making use of his Muslim partner's absence of supervision. Partnership is divided into two sections. Partnership in properties and partnership in contracts. Yes.
No,
I had a question.
No, hold carefully. Hold your questions.
Okay, yes, sir.
Partnership is divided into two sections, partnership in properties and partnership in contracts.
Okay, so I would like you to stop using the word partnership and use the word sharika.
Nah. Sharika is divided into two sections, Sharika in partnerships, Sharika in properties and Sharika in contracts. As for the first, it implies sharing the ownership of a real estate, factory, automobiles, etc. However, the second section of Sharika involves sharing in running the business, such as sharing in selling, purchasing, renting, etc. It can be by sharing in both capital and work, or sharing in work without capital. Sharika in contracts consists of five types. Number one, Ainan, cooperative Sharika. It involves equal sharing in both capital and work. Number two, Mudaraba, speculative Sharika. It refers to Sharika in which one of the two parties is a silent partner, who only provides capital, while the other runs the business. Number three, reputable partner Sharika. It refers to Sharika in trade based on the reputation, not the capital of the person, of the partners. Number four, manual Sharika. It refers to Sharika in which the two partners share whatever they earn by their own work, not by their wealth. Number five, comprehensive Sharika. It includes all the aforesaid types of Sharika, cooperative, reputable partner, manual, and speculative Sharikat. In this kind of Sharika, each partner authorizes the other to freely handle every aspect of the capital and labor. This is just a summary of the types of Sharika, and we shall deal with each in detail below.
Continue.
Chapter 2. Ainan, cooperative Sharika. It refers to the equivalence between the two partners in both capital and labor. They equally participate in the business. The real meaning of such a type of Sharika is that two or more partners provide equal capital for the business so that the total capital is regarded as one unit. They may work together to invest it, or perhaps one of them runs the business and so takes more profit than the other. Ainan, cooperative Sharika, is deemed permissible in accordance with the consensus of scholars, as recorded by Ibn al-Mundhir, may Allah have mercy on him. Yet scholars disagree only concerning some of its conditions. Every partner has the right to dispose of the capital of the Sharika due to his share and his being commissioned by the other partner. This is because
commissioned by the other partner. Commissioned by the other partner means having gotten a permission to do that, to have full control. Go ahead.
Nam. This is because the word partnership indicates each. This is because the word Sharika indicates each partner's dealing on behalf of the other without taking his permission. Scholars agree that it is permissible to make the capital of the Sharika either gold or silver, as people have been in the habit of doing so since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until now, without any disapproval.
It's considered the default. The wealth is considered the gold or silver. That is the actual profit. Go ahead.
However, they disagree whether it is permissible or not to make the capital of cooperative Sharika consist of merchandise instead of money, gold, or silver. Some scholars maintain that
currency. By money they mean currency, whichever currency the people are trading with, or any one of the currencies the people are trading with. For example, dollars, pounds, reals.
Some scholars maintain that it is impermissible because the value of the merchandise of one partner may increase before selling, while that of the other may not, and thus one partner shares the increase of the other's wealth. Others view that it is permissible to provide merchandise as capital in cooperative Sharika, which is a sound opinion. This is because the basis of Sharika is that both of the two partners can dispose freely of all their funds, and that they share whatever they earn. And this applies to merchandise as well as money.
Because it's like, well, money we got to call money currency, increases in value and decreases. People sometimes don't realize that, but it does, based on the world market. Go ahead.
Now, among the conditions of the validity of the, of cooperative sharika is that the profit of each partner should be previously specified, such as having one-third or one-fourth of the profit, according to his shares in the business. This is because the partners share in the profits, and none of them should be favored over the other, except with their previous mutual agreement.
Right, so sometimes what happens is we see people who put to go in business with other people, and they don't articulate, meaning state outwardly, what is the profit share, okay? What is the percentage of the breakdown of the profit? And so this opens the door for people to be slimy and cheat one another. And so one person is disposing of the business of the company, and they're taking all the profit, all of the profit. And then you ask them, where's the profit? You know, where's the money? Oh, I didn't make any money. We didn't make any money. And then they can't articulate where and how they spent the money. And this is cheating. Okay? This is cheating. And we see this often from people who call themselves, they took investors. No, you were just an investor. No, I was your business partner. I wasn't an investor. But they didn't articulate clearly certain, you know, the profit shares. And they didn't articulate clearly the rules of engagement, how these were going to go on. So this is a transaction. And they were cheated out of it because the person lied and said these were all business expenses as opposed to profit. Okay?
Now, therefore, the share in the profit of each partner has to be previously specified. Otherwise, their partnership is neither permissible nor valid. Accordingly, it is impermissible for each partner to stipulate that he will get his profit from a certain object of the capital, or that he will get it at a certain time, or that he will get the profit collected on a certain trade journey.
Okay, so this is what happens is a person, they say, well, look, you know, I give you this money here. You say, well, oh, you bought, I bought with that, let's say, a CMOS, all right? Well, you gave me $10,000, I bought CMOS with that money. So then I claim that you're only going to get your profit from the CMOS and not from the apples that we bought as well when we put our money together. That's one way. Or when you go travel, one person goes and travels, they claim that, okay, you're only going to get profit from what I did this trip. Okay? We're partners forever, but you act as this, as only the money for me is only for one type of thing. Okay? One transaction. These are all games that people play with the Sharia or with other people's property. And they're just ways of embezzling money from them. Islam has come to protect these deviant and deceptive practices. Okay, I literally see these practices happening every day when we're dealing with people who are doing business. And the cheater has already played and plotted out these types of excuses. Go ahead.
Okay, just taking notes.
The way to destroy this is clarity. The way to destroy all of this is clarity, written clarity.
Nah. The reason for this is that the specified object alone may or may not achieve profit, or that the trade may make only the profit concerning the share of one person only. This undoubtedly may lead to disputes among the partners, or may make the effort of one of them go in vain, which is prohibited in our lenient Sharia, Islamic law, as it involves deception and harm. Naam. Chapter 3. Mudaraba. Speculative Sharika.
So we're in the next type of transaction, okay? Or not transaction, of partnership, okay? Or Sharika.
Juristically, Muldaraba, speculative sharika, means giving a certain amount of money to others in order to trade with it in return for a share in the profit. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, and others traveling throughout the land seeking something of the bounty of Allah. Quran, Surah Al-Muzammil, Ayah 20.
Okay, this is a type of business transaction where, like he says, a person goes around and gets investors. He'll claim it's investors, and the people are saying, yo, I'm your partner. But the person plays games and uses the word investors as though you're only, you're buying into me. I'm really taking your money and doing something with it, which they are, but we're separate. We're not together, which is a lie. Okay? And they use this to fund themselves, and their goal is to play games and say that, oh, there is no money. Again, the way these people get away with it is there is not at the beginning of the relationship a declaration of what rules of engagement, meaning that the person has to account for every penny spent in their joint business. Because in these types, sometimes one person is not committing any money, but they're saying they're committing equal action that equates to or more than the money. Go ahead and continue.
Allah exalted be He says what may mean, and others traveling throughout the land seeking something of the bounty of Allah. Quran, Surah Al-Muzammil, Ayah 20. The ayah involves seeking bounty through trade and striking of deals. According to the consensus of scholars, speculative sharika is deemed permissible. Moreover, this type of sharika was practiced during the lifetime of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he approved of it. That sharika system is reported to have been practiced by Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, ibn Mas'ud, and other compilers of hadith, with whom none of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, has disagreed. Wisdom requires the permissibility of speculation with wealth, as people need it. Wealth can only be developed or invested through trade and transaction. With regard to this issue, the great scholar Ibn al-Qayyim said, what may mean, a speculator is a trustee, a hired person, a representative, and partner. He is a trustee when he takes the other partner's wealth and becomes entrusted with it. He is a hired person as he works himself on wealth. He is a representative as he freely disposes of it. And he is a partner as he shares in the profit, if any. In order to maintain the validity...
Listen, this type of transaction, partnership, is mentioned in Surah Al-Quraysh, لِإِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَصَيْفِ. The whole basis of Quraysh was he went around and got investors, right? Got people to give him kursh, their small change. And then he used that money to buy some product that he speculated would make a profit. Then he traveled with that product to another place and sold it. Okay? رِحْلَةِ الشِّتَاءِ وَصَيْفِ. And bought other products with it that he would sell somewhere else. And then he accounted for all of that money and shared the profit with his relatives, those people who were invested in him, the other Quraysh people. Okay? Relatives of Quraysh. Go ahead. And Allah says this is one of the ways that their hearts became united through this trade.
In order to maintain the validity of the speculative sharika, the entrusted speculator's share of the profit should be previously specified, as it would be his due according to such a mutual agreement. Ibn al-Mundhir said, scholars unanimously agreed that the worker, the entrusted speculator, has the right to stipulate a certain percentage of the profit from the beginning, such as one-third or half the profit, or whatever is agreed upon by the two partners. Still, if the owner of the money specifies a certain amount of the profit, or the whole profit for the worker, the entrusted speculator, or specifies nothing at all, their shedika becomes invalid.
You see why? Because there has to be some clarity. And it becomes invalid because all you're doing is opening the door for fitna. So all it is going to be a big, big, big fitna, as the person is going to claim all the money was used in the transaction and there was no profit made. I just broke even. But you didn't declare what he was allowed to spend the money on. Okay, so they wind up making these big, you know, hotel rooms and tickets to go in first class and, you know, dinners, and they're saying they had to do this and they had to do that, and there's no clarity or oversight to determine whether this was true or not. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also was entrusted with the wealth of the lady Khadija, or Sayyidatu Khadija. And she sent with him her trusted slave so that this slave could report back how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went about spending her money and distributing and purchasing and selling, and if the Prophet's share would be, truthful or not, or spiked, you know? And when she got the word back that he had done better than they had expected and returned every penny that would have been due and got a better profit than what they had expected, she was super impressed with him and sought to marry him, because that type of trustworthy man she knew was rare, and from other things she saw in him. Continue. That the thing that is very important here, that is again a problem with Westerners nowadays, is that people do not want to show accountability of the wealth, and it's not stated in the beginning that this has to be done. Second thing is, what is the profit share of the person who is accepting the money? Okay? From the beginning, a lot of times they assume we're equal here. But me being paid is different than me sharing the wealth. No, it's not. You're a partner. You don't get paid like that. You split the wealth. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So, Sheikh, you're saying the person who is the entrusted speculator, they're just getting a profit split. They can't consider themselves getting a wage and a profit split.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
What is the Arabic for entrusted speculator? See,
is this person a partner or are they an employee?
Right, they're a partner.
Okay. Because once you start doing that, you start saying, okay, he's getting a salary. I mean, why do you need him then? How is he your partner? You get it? Is he a partner or is he an employee? If he's an employee, then we pay you and you don't get any profit. You just get paid as an employee.
No.
Okay. So now, a lot of times these guys do that and they put no money up front. Now, if they put money up front and then they're doing the work extra and they're considering this more than what the partnership has, and because not a partnership, they get a greater share because now they equaled you in money and now they're doing now work, which is more than what you're doing. So then their profit share should be bigger.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Sheikh, what is the Arabic for the entrusted speculator?
I don't know. I don't have the Arabic open in front of me at the moment.
Okay.
What do you call it? Let me see 1 second. I'll look it up while we're going forward. Inshallah, that'll in a second.
Okay.
Astaghfirullah. Okay, I'm here in Shadikat. Give me a few moments. I should be able to find it in a few seconds.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm in Babylon. What section is that in? Go ahead. Hikmatul Jawazul Mudariba Billah. Al-Nas Bihajat Al-Ilayah. Al-Qalib bin Al-Mundir. Ajma'u Ahl Al-Ilmi Ala Anna Lil-Amili. Al-Yastarita. Rabbil Mali Thulath Al-Rubi'i Wal-Nasru. Okay. وتعين مقدار النصيب العامل من الربح يرجع إليها فلو لقال رب المال للعامل التجز به والربع بيننا. Okay, what did you just read now? Read your section. You just read from Ibn Mundhir right now?
Yes, we're just after that. We're just after the statement of Ibn Mundhir.
Read it again. Read the statement again.
The share of the profit that the entrusted speculator will get depends on the mutual agreement between him and the investor, the owner.
Keep going.
Therefore, if the owner asks the worker to trade with his money, telling him that they will share the profit together, then the profit is to be equally divided between them. Moreover, it is permissible for the owner to stipulate that he will get a certain share of the profit, such as 3/4 or 1/3 of the profit.
Okay, so they call him al-amil. The term here that you're using, here they call al-amil. Rabbul mal is the one who owns the wealth. And al-amil is the one who is working with the wealth. Okay?
No.
So that's the term that's being used in Arabic, okay?
Yes, sir. Understood. Nah, this is because when the share of each is known, both of them will get his due share of the profit. In other words, when the share of one of them is specified, the other's share will be known accordingly. If the two partners if the two partners dispute regarding whose share of the profit is the specified one, it must be given to the entrusted speculator, to the amil, be it much or little. This is because he is the one who deserves it due to his work and effort.
Like I said, he's out there. He's out there. So, like I said, so when the issue becomes a thing of activity, then he's doing the most activity. Go ahead.
Nah. The worker's share of the profit already varies depending on how much effort he exerts. He may get a small share of the profit for an easy or simple work, or get a large share in case of hard work.
One second. One second. Okay, so this really becomes a moot point, because again, once you specify what one person's share is, you already clarified what the other one's is as well, because it's the rest of the wealth. Yes. Now, the only time there's a problem is when, again, there's not clarity in the contract. Who gets 1/3? Now, you say, hold on, who gets 1/3? Well, the specified number usually goes to the one who is not the owner of the wealth. Because otherwise, all of it goes back to the owner, right? His wealth. So that's why when he has a specified one, okay? No. The other thing is, what people assume sometimes is, no, we're splitting everything 50-50. That's not necessarily the case. It's not necessarily a 50-50 split. And especially if the person is saying, now, I'm extracting or detracting all the money that I spend on attaining wealth. That's not profit. That's not loss, but that's investment. The wealth is on the money, the sold items. That's what's going to be split.
Wait, I didn't understand what you just said about the money I spent in attaining wealth. Can you explain that a little bit? You said it's not profit and it's not loss. I didn't quite understand.
Okay, that's investment. Let's say again, you invested $10,000, gave it to Mr. Tyler Boyd. Mr. Tyler Boyd then took that $10,000, bought a plane ticket and went to Dubai, and then bought in the free trade zone $6,000 worth of products, paying another $1,000 to get them shipped to the Gambia. Took a plane himself to the Gambia when it arrived, paid the customs with the other $1,000 that remained it, and shipped it to different stores, distributed it and marketed it to different stores. All that money he spent is documented, and that's not considered a loss. All that is considered investment costs. Those are all costs for doing business. Then after the items are sold, that money is returned first. All that money is back. Now you made $15,000 on sales. Well, in actuality, all you made was $5,000. Because the $10,000
right.
comes back to the investor, you.
Okay, so that goes back to the original investor, not the speculator.
That's right. He gets nothing of that money. The remaining that we split on is the $5,000 that was earned above the cost of doing business. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's clean.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Now, in addition, the estimation of the share of profit specified for the entrusted speculator depends on his skill. Consequently, his share of the profit is to be stipulated, unlike the owner who deserves his share due to the wealth he owns and provides, not through conditions.
You see what I said from the beginning? As I said, it's because of the work he's doing out there, okay? They're not equal in that regard. But the person who invested the wealth, we call him Rabbul Mal, that person deserves their money back before any profit. That's what we said in outlining.
If profits are made.
Oh, both of them took risks. But I said profits and sharing if profits are made. If profits are made. What does that mean? He went out there. He did the same thing with the $10,000, but he only made $10,000. Was any profit made?
No.
No.
No, sir.
No. Okay, but so the person who Rabbul Mal gets their money back, gets the wealth that was collected. So the first thing to get paid is the investment cost, okay? It's not considered profit. He can't take his off the top. Continue.
If the speculative sharika is canceled, the profit is to be for the owner, as the capital as well as its increase belongs to him.
Stop. That's the point I just made. Go back and say it again.
If the speculative sharika is canceled, the profit is to be for the owner.
It's called the mudaraba. The mudaraba. This is the mudaraba. Let's call it by the terms that we have, because sometimes these things confuse me. Say it again, please. Yes.
If the mudaraba is canceled, the profit is to be for the owner, as the capital, as well as its increase, belong to him.
Right. So if there's a breakdown anywhere, and this has to be understood, because it goes the opposite way in the minds of these psychopaths, okay? They say, oh, it's over, I'm taking mine. What do you mean taking mine? I'm taking what you owe me. What do you mean what I owe you? I went out here, I did this, then the ego comes out. And there's a forgetting of what the Sharia says, or there's not even a knowledge of what the Sharia says. And this can only be entertained because people don't understand their rights or the rights of the business transaction, the sharika, this type of sharika. So they get away with this because the people have got involved in something that they don't understand first. And this is why we say knowledge precedes words and deeds. If it's canceled, everything goes back to the owner because he's the one that made the biggest investment of wealth. Okay? And then he might be able to salvage it and get someone else to continue in the business deal. But what happens is the person he has entrusted runs with the money. Okay? Or whatever else there because it's in his possession. And then claims, oh, I'm Muslim, you cannot kill me. That's what, only what are you going to do? You can't kill me. Okay? Or you can't take me to court because I'm Muslim. And this leads to distrust amongst the Muslim ummah. Okay?
Nah.
Continue.
However, the entrusted speculator, the amil, is just to get his wage, as the profit is to be according to the stated condition, and the condition is abrogated as a result of the abrogation of the speculation. It is permissible to set a certain period for the mudaraba, after which the sharika is to be terminated. That is,
okay,
the owner
so this
of the
is...
wealth...
Continue.
That is, the owner of the wealth may stipulate that he will agree on a mudaraba with the amil for a year, for example. A mudaraba is also permissible. Yes.
So here, the mudaraba, it is an ongoing, recurring transaction. I'm a business sharika. So it's just like we call it investment. What did you call the guy in English? The amil in English? What was the term you used?
The entrusted speculator.
Okay. So this person is the guy that comes and says to people, I have a caravan. Because that's what he's putting together, a caravan. And I'll give you an example. A guy came to me and he said, look, I'm putting together a canister worth of goods that's going to go to the Gambia. I said, great, good for you. He says, I need people to invest. Would you like to invest? Now, you see, he is automatically putting it forward as though he's selling to me, as opposed to the fact that we're going in business together as partners. Okay? And this is because these guys do not study the Sharia at all and don't realize the type of business transactions they are getting themselves involved in. This is a mudaraba. If you want my money, then we have to talk about that. We have to make sure you understand what it is. What will you invest in, I ask him. Okay, what is it that you're going to take my money and invest it in? I don't want to tell you. Why not? Oh, because, you know, I don't want people to steal my ideas. We're partners, though. If you cannot trust me as your partner to tell me what it is you plan on investing the money in purchasing, I cannot entrust you with my money. Okay? Cannot do so. It doesn't work that way. There's no secrets here. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying
yes,
that
sir.
Every single item I know that he purchased.
No.
But let's say, you know, what if he's going and buying crack? Okay? I'm now in a conspiracy because I did not say he couldn't do that. You know, I gave him the money to do that. So there has to be some clarity so I can say, no, I didn't tell him he can go do that. I didn't agree to that. But yes, you did. You said, go ahead and do what you're going to do. And so, you know, you have to make sure you understand who you're, what you're talking about purchasing. There's no deception in business practices, no secrets. Can I buy something and not know what it is? Everything under this towel? I'm asking a question.
No, you can't do that.
No.
You have to know, as a Muslim, you need to know what's under the towel. What if there's pig and alcohol under that towel?
No, no, that's not the only thing. We were told before, we're not to buy any products that we don't know what it is. It's deception in business practices. Can I buy, can you say, give me $50 for everything in door number 6?
No.
Okay, it's the same thing. These are the, all these are haram business practices. Okay, you have to know what you're, what, there has to be clarity. Continue. And then at the end of this, when the profit has been shared, either the transaction starts all over or we end it. Okay? The sharikah is ended based on time or something like that. Continue.
Nah. A mudaraba is also permissible to be based on a future condition. To illustrate, it is permissible for the owner to specify a certain month for the entrusted speculator, for the amil, to start using the money of the former for speculation.
Right, so he can collect the money. He can be collecting the money in Ramadan, okay? But he's not going to start working until Dhul-Qa'idah, okay? So this is right before Ramadan. So that's when it's going to begin, because that's the buying and selling season in the Arab world, okay? When everybody's coming, traveling through the world, they're bringing products. So people go and they collect and they make these business transactions, make the big business companies, so they're ready when that season comes and now they can start competing. If you do it earlier than that, you know, may not make any money because the prices are going to be different. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Continue.
No.
So you can stipulate when. And the guy can't say, well, I used the money. Because this is another thing they do. They borrow from Peter to pay Paul, or they invest them, they take the money and they start working using it before they're given a chance to trying to make profit before the time for them to make profit with your money is. I just made a side investment. You don't have nothing to do with that. Yes, I do. You used my money for an investment that I didn't agree with. This is haram. Okay? This is haram. Because then they'll tell you, no, you don't have nothing to do with that. That's not your deal. This, I got a side deal with this one. No, man, you can't do side deals when you're in partnership with me. Okay? And this is what these, again, games people play. Go ahead.
No. So is it permissible, Sheikh, to have different partnerships going at the same time, or when you do a partnership with someone, you're stuck with just that one partnership?
No, you can have multiple partners, but you can't have different deals at the same time. So let's say I have partners, right? I took all these people's money. I'm saying I'm in the mudaraba with them. I go and I buy different products, and I say, well, though this is money is only for you and this product. This is your money for this product. Isn't that what we just said is haram? That you can only get money from this one item that I purchased?
Wait. I don't get that. You're saying...
Okay. I'm saying, listen again.
So if I tell you I'm going to invest...
Listen. We just said that it is haram in the Inan... Sharika, where one person is doing the work. For him to tell someone, you're only going to get your profit from this one product. Okay? No. All your activities are affecting all the money I have. You took 10,000 from me, 10,000 from person number Bilal, 10,000 from person Aisha. You have 30,000. You go someplace, you buy $10,000 worth of bicycles, $10,000 worth of planes, $10,000 worth of car engines. You put them all in one canister or two canisters or three canisters. You pay for them and you fly back to wherever you're going to fly to and or ship to, and you start selling those, cannot say to your three investors, you're only getting profit from cars, engines, and you from the bicycles, and you from the planes. That is haram. What portion of that money did you use to ship it? All of their money you used to ship it. All of their money was used to feed you and to, you know, make the trip and these things like that. They take share of everything that you sell. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, Sheikh. What about, let's say I'm here in Philippines, right? And I want to start a computer business. And I also want to start a halal meat business. Do I have to, like, give the investors in the halal meat a share of profits from the computer business, even though they're totally different and they don't, like, interact at all?
Well, you just put a whole bunch of conditions there, okay? You just said in this description, you said, do I have to give them profit if they don't affect each other, they're not affecting each other? How do we know that? If you invested your money and you went and you purchased your products or their computer business, let's say you're selling hardware and you go to Dubai or someplace else, just using Dubai as an example, to purchase computer parts. How did you get to Dubai? You invested only your money or those partners that you have to fly you to Dubai. Now, if you go with the money that your investors sent you to Dubai with, and you have another objective, not just to go to Dubai and purchase for them and yourself in that partnership, but also for the partnership you have with other people to sell oatmeal, then you have embezzled money from one of those two companies. Okay? Because now you're going and you're using their money on false pretenses. They paid for your trip to go to Dubai to take care of their business. They did not agree with you for you to go to Dubai to take care of some other business. Does that make sense?
Nah, so it comes down to using the resources of the investors, correct?
That's part of it. No, that's just one angle of it. The other angle of it is that there's deception. The person who does this is deceiving his partners, because his partners do not know that they're paying for him to do business and other types of business. That's not something they agreed upon. If it's no big deal, why didn't he say, I'm going to use your money to fly to Dubai and I'm going to be doing other business there as well? Well, am I getting paid from that other business as well? Why am I paying for it then? Okay? Why am I paying for it? Are you paying me back? No, I'm investing in you and your time as well and your activities. Now, if you go to Dubai on your own and you buy products and you bring them back, okay, or you state to them, I'm going to be in Dubai on business, I will look into our thing as well, then don't charge me for the trip. Okay, don't put the fact that the cost of the trip on our expense budget. Now your expenses should say, without the travel expense, once you were in Dubai, you spent this money from the hotel to the cab to get to this particular place to buy these things. You could put that there, but you can't put the travel fee there, because you didn't go there for my business. You left the hotel for my business, but not to the country for my business, our business. It has to be honesty and full accountability. Does that make sense?
No, okay.
Sheikh, it makes
sense.
If you
have any questions, go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. In the Inan section, you said if the investor gives you money to buy liquor beads, for example, and and you say, okay, you're only getting the money from the Dickerbees, even though you also bought apples, but the apples was with someone else's money. I'm not understanding how they're different.
I didn't say that. I said that's haram. I didn't say that was lawful. I used that example to say that it's unlawful.
Right. Okay. So what I'm trying to understand is how is that different from Tyler Boyd's example?
Well, Tyler Boyd's example is haram too. I said that both of them are haram. I said, look, in Tyler Boyd's example, what makes it different is Tyler Boyd has clearly two different companies. Okay? And he has two sets of investors who know that they have invested in the specific businesses that they have or transactions that they have invested in. One group of people have invested in a computer company. The second group have invested in, let's say for argument's sake, a refrigeration company. When Tyler Boyd travels to a particular place, the company, each one thinks he's going there on behalf of them alone. If he doesn't state that he's going there for other people's business too, then he's deceiving them and he's doing something haram. Okay? If he states to them that he's going there for business, he has to state whose business he's going there for. I'm flying to Dubai, let's say Dubai, on behalf of another company that I'm involved with, computer company that I'm involved with. Okay? When I'm there, I'll take care of some business of ours dealing with the refrigeration company. In that regard, he can do that because now he has put his refrigeration company people on notice that he is doing business with another company, and that's why he's going to Dubai. And because he's going to be there, he's going to take care of some of our business there. So we know that we're not paying for that trip out of our investment capital, our man. But he can charge the company as he is a representative of the company, okay, for how much money he is spending to go to from the hotel to wherever he's there. We don't pay for the hotel either. The refrigeration company does not pay for the hotel unless he says, okay, I'm done the business I have come here to do. Do you want me to stay? Do you authorize me to stay here a few days longer to do the business that we were supposed to do? They say yes. Then they start paying for the hotel. You get it? As a company.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There has to be 100% clarity of activity and intention. Do you get that from my examples?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I was saying it's haram for him to say he's doing one type of business, which is a purchasing business, a caravan business, and he takes money from multiple sources. Then he buys multiple products and pretends that each person who invested in him, their wealth is only going to come from one product, one of those products. This is haram. This is clearly haram. And it's a big play of games to cheat people. Okay, because all of their money went for this joint well-known trip that he was going on. All of their money is involved with going to the market. All their money goes into his mind and choosing what products he should purchase. They're invested in that as well. And all of them get the profit of everything that was sold at that same market because what drew the customer in wasn't just that one product, was the multiple products. They might have seen the shirts that he bought and came in and then bought the pants as well. So there was unification in the type of products that he bought and the attraction, all of them share the profit of that. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Clear.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Nah. He may also ask the amil to use his money for speculation after the latter gets it from such and such a person. This is because mudaraba is permission of free disposal of the money given by the owner of the money to the amil, so it can be dependent on a future condition.
This shows that he's paying for the guy's mental as well, his experience and his mind in the business. Okay? He's profiting from it. Go ahead. Mm. Does that make sense?
On the other hand,
That he's making profit from the guys? Okay.
On the other hand, it is impermissible for an amil in a mudaraba to work as a partner for another capital owner if that will negatively affect his first partner, unless the latter gives him permission.
Again, similar to what I said, right?
No. For example, the wealth of the worker's new partner may be so much that it takes all his time and thus negatively affects the interests of his first partner. Moreover, the wealth of the first partner may be so much that it takes all the time of the amil, and thus if the latter gets into another mudaraba, he may be inattentive of some of the first partner's interests.
And let's say that, I was doing this, I was making 10,000 over here, I ain't really making nothing with this, so I looked, I checked it out, it didn't do nothing, your money's gone. No, my money's not gone. Mm. You already talking about my money's gone. You get my point? This is what these guys do. Yes. They play games. No, it's not gone. We haven't made a profit, but you made something. But because they're interested in something else, or they claim it was in something else, a lot of times it's very unclear how you made profit, but I didn't. I don't get it. That's not how it goes. Okay?
Yet it is permissible for the worker to speculate in the wealth of another partner when the first partner gives him permission to do so and when there will be no harm caused to the first partner's interests.
Speculate means they're choosing, right? They're speculating this product's going to make us some money. Okay? Or these products. Go ahead.
In this connection, if the worker speculates in the wealth of a second partner without the permission of the first, causing harm to the first partner's interests, the worker is to take his share of the profit made through his second mudaraba and add it to the profit of the first partnership.
Did you understand that?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
After that, the total profit is to be divided between him and his first partner, according to their previously stated conditions.
Alhamdulillah. Do you guys understand that? Isn't the first person not to be harmed by that? But it's people playing games. Okay? Go ahead.
This is because the effort exerted by the worker in his second mudaraba should have been exerted in the first.
Alhamdulillah.
It is impermissible for the amil. Go ahead.
I had a question.
Stop saying that. Stop saying I had a question. You're wasting breath.
Okay. I want to make sure if it's okay if I ask a question.
No. If you start asking the question and I don't want you to ask it, I'll just say that. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. So I wanted to ask, Sheikh, could you give me a example of this what we just went over?
Scenario.
In terms of adding money?
I gave it to you. I gave you an example. Just like I said, Tyler Boyd accepts money from me, you, and your mother, okay? He goes, and he has an agreement with another person, with Mr. Baraka, to do business there as well. And he spends all his time on the business with Mr. Baraka, and then he turns around and says, oh, me and Mr. Baraka made money, but you guys didn't. No. You're going to take the profit from that second agreement that you had with Mr. Baraka, and you're going to put it in our till, right? And we're going to make sure that all of our expenses were paid, and then whatever the profit is, then we're going to start splitting that. Does that make sense? Because he had an obligation first and foremost to us, and he used it for Mr. Baraka. How did he make money with Mr. Baraka? He took our money and our wealth and Mr. Baraka's wealth. He's a representative of us both, but he worked on Mr. Baraka's thing, and he made profit with it, but claimed the money that he used for us to buy something else didn't make any profit.
Do you understand? So he has to pull. Are you saying that he has to pull all of the money together and then calculate the profit?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Continue.
It is impermissible for the worker, the amil, to spend from the capital of the speculation.
Okay, let me say it again. The bottom line we hear is a lack of deception, destroying the opportunity for the amil to be deceptive. Okay? The person who comes in and tells us that we can invest money in them as they go and purchase things on our behalf is called mudaraba, and make profit with it. This person cannot then take money from someone else and get into a mudaraba with them, then use our money, our joint money, that person's money and ours. So there's no line of where the money came from now. It's just the money is mixed together. And he went to the place to go purchase whatever he's going to purchase. And he buys and says that the things that he bought with our money didn't make any money, but the things that he bought with the other person's money did make a profit. And this then has injured us because we gave him money. So what has to happen here is the money that was earned, all of the money that was earned, is put together. And now it's considered to be what was the profit now? What was earned when all of it was put together as though it's one company? Do you follow me? It's all one company now. And that fourth person.
Okay, but what if the only thing that made money was Mr. Baraka's? Like, what if no? Okay,
I understood the question. You don't have to listen. What if it didn't work that way? Everybody invested in that money was put together, and it was one investment. So this is why he should not have had two investments in one place, because now it's considered one investment. Let's say the person invested the same thing, and it was known that you have to turn off your microphone.
It's not off? I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's say the same situation, except this time he informs us that Mr. Baraka is also an investor. Okay? And then we go, and all our money now is for investors, and he purchases, and the same amount of money is earned. What is the difference here? And only one product is sold from amongst our joint, monies. Well, it would be the same situation. And for this reason, it's put together as one product, one company. If we go and we put our money together and we go buy something, of course, one product may excel the other in sales. We don't pull profit off of one product and say whoever put their money fell on this one product, they're the one that's only going to make money. No. Our money together was intended to help all of us make money. Okay? From everything that we buy. And that even if one product did great and everything else didn't do great, we made money off of that one product. We made money off of that product. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes what the case is that the other products just don't sell. Sorry?
To keep it separate? Is it possible to keep it separate?
No, it's haram. It's haram to keep it separate, Dr. Amaisha. It is haram to keep it separate. The same thing is that if we were going to sharecrop on land. We went over this rule too. And we say only on the left section is yours. You don't get anything if the right section comes with any produce. That's haram too. Whatever we get out of the agriculture on the land is to be split between everybody equally. Well, you know what I'm saying? As though whatever, let's say you're getting one third. Your one third is taken off of the whole product that's come from the whole land. Let's say the left side didn't get anything that year, but only the right side. You still get one third of whatever the profit is of that one third agriculture. Same thing as in this type of transaction.
So that I get, but I can think
of the same thing.
Other situations where like it's a completely different
Such as if you're working as an amateur.
Such as what? One second. Give me an example, Dr. Meister, where it should be different. Let me hear that.
Okay. I'll give you an example from my industry. If if I work for Clinic A and nobody comes, and then I work for Clinic B and people come, I don't have to give Clinic A anything from Clinic B's revenue.
Okay, well, that's not a Moldova. Did you take money from Clinic A?
Yeah, like if I own Clinic A, if I'm in a partnership for Clinic A, and I'm in a partnership for Clinic B.
No, you're missing the point. It's just not just having a partnership. Did Clinic A give you money to purchase something?
Yeah, you buy the EKG machine and the ultrasound machine and the chair.
You're missing my point.
You paid.
This is when. This is a different type of transaction. If Clinic A sent you to a place to go buy these machines and you're going to go sell those machines, and then Clinic B gave you money to go at the same time to go buy some of these machines and everything like that, and you're going to sell those machines. This is the type of transaction we're talking about. Not if you are opening different. Not if you're going around opening different places that you're doing khidma, a service at. This is not the same thing. When you're doing a service at a particular place, that is a different type of business scenario than what we're referring to here. Okay, we're talking about investing money in a product, going on a caravan, or, you know, you're buying a product without leaving and bringing that product in to sell it. And others are the ones paying for that product, and you are using your brain to purchase and sell it, and physical body to sell it. That's what we're referring to here. So those types of business transactions are not to be exemplified through these scenarios. They'll be explained in other chapters of business transactions. Okay?
Okay, yes, I get it. So it's whenever you're dealing, buying and selling your product, because
right.
One product might.
So when you talk about this other one,
but you still have to put it out together.
Yes, the other ones you're talking about is when you're talking about name recognition, and we're going to talk about that as well. Okay, when you have business name recognition, so Clinic A is using your name, and people know your name and your reputation. So they're coming to a particular clinic because your name is there. You're getting paid for them to use your name or your license as a doctor. Okay, this is a different type of transaction.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
Well,
like,
shut it down.
I could be a medical director at one clinic. And
no,
I
don't want to confuse
their business
because that's
expand, right?
Right, but this is what
meaning
I'm saying. I don't want to talk about
my
that.
My name is there. License.
Right, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Let's finish this. Okay. All right, cool.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
No problem. We'll talk about it, inshallah, because I don't want to confuse the people. Go ahead.
Nah. I'm trying to find my place. This is only permissible if it is previously approved by the owner of the money or there is
go
a conventional.
Go back one sentence.
Nah. This is because the worker is supposed to speculate in his partner's wealth in return for part of the profit. So, he is not allowed to spend from the main capital in petty expenses and thus take more than his share.
Okay, so we missed that. I missed that section. Okay, remember I mentioned earlier that he's nickeling, diming his partners by going first class, by buying this and buying this and charging them. So that when they get back, they get to the place, oh, your money was gone. They'll tell them. Your money was gone. So I paid for your trip. Yeah, I didn't use your money because your money only got me there. No, baby, that's the way it works. The money is put together as one trip. And whatever is there for purchasing And whatever is purchased is split amongst all those who invested for the whole trip. Okay? So, alhamdulillah, you paid for the trip, you paid for the cab, you paid for the hotel, oh, and you paid for the food. Oh, the only money left was my money, and I invested it in this thing right here. Yeah, I made $1 million off that one thing. Come on, that's game. Okay? Continue.
Nah. This is only permissible if it is previously approved by the owner of the money, or there is a conventional trade practice that enables one to do so.
Continue.
The profit should not be distributed as long as the contract of the mudaraba is in effect, unless both parties agree to divide it. This is because the profit is regarded as a means of protecting the capital. The profit is used to cover any accidental loss during speculation. So, if it is divided while the partnership contract is in effect, it will not be possible to make up for any accidental loss. In brief, the profit is a way of saving the capital, so the worker does not have the right to claim any profit except after the capital spent is completely regained.
Again, I mentioned this earlier. The money invested has to be regained first. Okay, didn't I say that? Okay, the
yes,
money that was
clear.
Invested has to go first and foremost be put to the side. And all the other money is used again to, like I said, the worst thing is that we break even. We went on the trip, spent, bought, purchased, sold, and then came back. And when we count the money, we have exactly what we left with. That's okay. We didn't lose anything. You get my point? We didn't lose anything. It's all there. And we got name recognition because we went through the whole process. We went there, back, came back, and did everything. We got something done, even though it's palatably not in physical currency. Okay? We didn't take a loss. So I like the way he explains here that the Prophet's first objective is to safeguard the further usage of the capital investment. So whatever money comes in has to immediately be put to the side until the capital is totally recovered. And any monies to be used after that is to be taken out of the profit. The money, the capital, that once it's returned, is not to be touched. And only after all profit has been exhausted should any of it be touched. This also goes to the point that the person who is the amal cannot go to Dubai and then say, look, I took out a couple of thousand because I had to pay some bills. My wife called me. She told me this was happening. I had to do this, so I spent money on that. I gave myself an advance. No, they don't have the right to give themselves an advance. They are broke. They have no money. It's not just too bad, peanut butter and jelly. The money is not to be used for any reason except that what it was assigned for. And any usage of it is embezzlement, a type of stealing. Okay?
Understood.
Dr. Maisha, what do you call it?
Question.
Go ahead.
What does the worker do if he's dead broke and he only has money assigned for his trip, but like you said, his lights are about to go out back home?
I don't know whatever he would do if he didn't have any money. He doesn't have any money. It's not his money to use. He's stealing if he takes somebody else's money. You got to go borrow some money from somebody or speak to somebody. He doesn't, just because people entrusted him with their money does not give him the right to use their money in any way he likes to.
Right.
Because they didn't give him the money for him to turn on his lights. They gave him money to go buy whatever he went to go buy. Okay? And he cannot determine that, okay, now because, we as a company have recovered some of our investment, I can now take our investment or your physical investment, because remember, the physical wealth is still considered to be the property of the investors and not the Rabbul Mal and not the Aman. The Amah's only benefit here will be in the profit, if profits are made. Okay, the techniques to use in the practice of trade. Remember that. Contracts and sharing, if profits are made. Remember, I kept emphasizing that in the poem. And this is why. Okay? You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if his lights are off, he comes back to a dark home, turns them on after getting back home, or after getting the profit split. And usually the profit is not split till the man shows up with the capital. Continue.
Nah, I'm Sheikh. May I be excused?
Okay, well, let's end the class then.
Okay, there's one paragraph left, so.
Okay, go ahead.
We can read that and then end the class. Okay, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Since the worker is a trustee, he has to fear Allah regarding what he is entrusted with and should be believed regarding any claim about loss or damage of the property. He should also be believed concerning whatever he claims he has purchased for himself, not for the speculation or vice versa, as he is entrusted with that from the beginning, and Allah knows best.
Okay, so, you know, this adds another thing here when he says he must be trusted for what he bought for himself, okay? So this is not what you think. This is not, okay, I bought this for me to sell. No, what monies he spent on himself, okay, during the trip, for just the trip, you know, having to eat, having to, you know, sleep and these types of things like that, okay? Need to be entrusted about this. But nowadays, we don't have to entrust him. We can do what? We can look it up. We can see where exactly he spent. And these some of those costs can be calculated from the beginning. So the hotels and those people know. Okay?
No.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Any other questions?
No, sir, but next class, maybe if you have time, it would be beneficial if you could run us through, like, from beginning to end, set, like, a real-world example setting up a mudaraba or any nan.
I gave you today's, I told you caravans. I gave you perfect examples where people come and they go to Dubai. How much clearer does that, you know, the people who come and go to take money from you and go to Dubai, buy product and sell it in Gambia. What's not real world about that? That's done every day.
No, it's real world. Like, I just mean, like, for example, you know, how would it go from the time we're having those initial conversations to when he's going out in terms of the conversations out and the techniques part, I guess, of actually going about that in a way that will be effective.
Okay, inshallah ta'ala, next class. Okay, you as soon yes, as the sir. Class comes in together, you ask me, I'll explain to you.
Okay, yes, sir.
All right. Jazakallah khair, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah.
Naam, jazakallah khair, Shaykh, and thank you all for joining us today on Outlining Fiqh. We covered a lot here in the area of partnerships or sharikat, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.